Ladies and gentlemen, life's all about seizing opportunities. You need to be present, you need to be engaging, and you need to take chances. The wedding industry is no different, and you only get one chance to create the perfect day. Welcome to the show. Guys, my name is AJ Cruz, and I'm your host of the Perfect Day Show. And I have Elena Cornwell with me right now, and she's staring at me when I do this intro. She told me to own it, so I'm trying to own it the best I humanly can. But Elena, you and I have a very specific like history as far as like weddings go, and I was really, really excited to have you on the show. And the reason is because Elena was there when I got to film my first solo wedding. So I worked with a company who booked me for a lot of weddings for about a few months, probably like 4 or 5 months. And then through there, somebody reached out to me personally and was like, would you do my wedding? And it was like a last minute thing, like a week before. And it was Megan Sinovic and Eric Sinovic. And it was like, I was freaking out because I was like, I've never had anyone reach out to me about doing a wedding. And I was like, all right, let's do it. So booked them a week before the wedding, showed up, and Elena was there. And she was amazing to work with. So I wanted to take an opportunity to talk to her about her career and where she's going now, which is super exciting, and I'm super excited for her. But Elena, can you do the audience a favor a little bit and just like talk to yourself? Talk first about how you got into the wedding industry and how you got into photography in general.
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks for having me on. This is really exciting. It's been, like I was telling you before we started, it's been really fun to watch you grow too. And, you know, since that wedding. And I've seen a lot of like my own journey, I would say, in watching you grow too. I started photographing weddings 5 years ago, right after I graduated college. I decided my senior year that I wanted to be a professional photographer. I'd been discouraged my whole life from doing that. You can't make money doing that. It's a lot of hard work with not a lot of return, et cetera, et cetera. And I listened to those people until I was about to graduate. And I was like, I just really love photographing people. I'm going to do it anyway. And so I started small, doing like senior portraits for my friends and stuff. And then I booked my first wedding the summer after I graduated. And it was really fun. I worked, one of my friends was my second, and it was stressful and it was exciting. And after that, I made some friends here in Lincoln, Nebraska, where I'm based, and started learning from them. Ben Ramos has my heart because he encouraged me so much. He was like my second photographer friend that I made that like really was invested in growing with me. And we became really good friends that year, 2015, so long ago. So yeah, that's how I got into weddings. My friends were getting married and they needed a photographer, and I had a camera and I was okay with posing people, and it just kind of grew from there. I really enjoyed getting to tell people's story, getting to be with them on a really special day. And it has progressed to where we are now 5 years later. I don't do loads. I have not done loads of weddings per year. I usually just take on a few, let's say like 4 to 8 per year, very small. It's never been like the pillar of my business, but it's always been something that I have enjoyed because of the stories we get to tell.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, personally speaking, there's no better opportunity or no better experience than being able to like literally live a once in a lifetime day, right? Like, I think it's cool. And like you mentioned off the podcast, you were like, I literally cry at every wedding. And it's like, I've almost cried at every wedding. I try and hold back a little bit, but I like how you mentioned when you were like getting into photography, like people were telling you that, you know, this isn't something that you can really make money at. This isn't a viable career path. And from my own personal experience, you know, I've done, like we talked about this too off the podcast, was, you know, you need to try everything. And one thing that it's going to sound a little weird, but like, I don't know if you knew this or not, but I used to do magic. So like, did you know that?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. So I used to do magic in high school. And there was a point at 16 years old where I would go downtown and busk for money every single weekend, the entire summer of 2016. And that was kind of a defining moment for me where I was like, I don't have anything against like not going to school necessarily, but like for me as a person and like for what I was pursuing, I knew that I wanted to have a career in something that I just wanted to build myself. And that was a big moment for me. But like, especially with video and photo, you know, I was told also like, why don't you just like go to school, get a degree and like go get a job. And it was like, that's not what I want to do. You know, how did that make you feel, I guess? Or like, what was your mindset when people were telling you that sort of thing?
It was really hard. It was hard to hear that because it often came from people who I was very close to, like my family or not usually close friends. They were always like just really encouraging, but just family that I know it came from a place of concern, you know, wanting to make sure I had like a stable job when I graduated to pay back my student loans, to like buy a house, you know, live life. And so I always appreciated them for looking out for me. But it was difficult because this was something that I was finding that I really loved to do, and it was being like discouraged. And there are so many, like you said, there's so many different types of photography that a person can do to make a lot of money. Weddings is not the only thing you can be successful in. And so yeah, it was discouraging and a little frustrating. And it took me growing all through college more into myself, to really decide, yes, I'm going to do this anyway. I understood also too, like I observe Sabbath on Saturday, and so I don't take Saturday weddings. And that was also another like reason that I was told I couldn't make money, because most weddings are on Saturday, and like you're just not going to book enough people to make money, which is not true. I could have booked way more weddings on different days. I just never pushed hard for it because I found other things I love to do with photography.
Definitely, definitely. And so I want to get into that a little bit more. Like, this is another thing that we were talking about is, you know, when we met at a wedding. And so in my mind, I was like, she's a wedding photographer. She loves this just as much as I do. But it's not that you don't love weddings, but you found that your passion isn't something else. And so I want to take the opportunity for you to talk about that, is that you're now currently making a transition from doing weddings to working with artists. And can you tell the audience a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I would love to. So again, one of my favorite things about doing weddings was the interaction I got with people, and specifically people enjoying each other's company. You know, the bride and groom, they love each other. The day is usually every wedding I've photographed, I've been privileged to have weddings that are just full of love and joy. And that's always been like a really bright spot in my career so far as a photographer, is to be surrounded by that. And I wanted to focus in on how I felt when I was spending time with like just the bride and groom, or just like the bride and her mom, like the small, more intimate moments where you get to really connect with people. And I remember it was last year. Oh, I can't remember when. It was last year. I did a photo session with a couple friends of mine. And it was like an intimate shoot, and it was one artist who wanted images of her with her art, but I'd offer to do the photos for her. And she like draws and paints nude portraiture, and so she wanted photos with her art, and so we got to be like really creative with that. And it was a really pivotal moment for me, because she was nervous to share this new creative experience with somebody else, because she's been creating her art on her own. You know, like when you're painting or when you're drawing, it's a very personal, like it's you and your,
it's very isolated
canvas. Yeah, it's just you and your canvas, that's it. You don't really let other people in because you're like zoned in. And then I was here to take photos for her and of her and of her art through my own eyes. And that was like really scary. So we got to like talk through that. And we ended up making some of the photos that I'm most proud of to this day. And I learned how much I enjoyed just getting to work with just one person and bringing their idea to life, and then showing them what they look like when they are with the thing they're passionate about. And I just wanted to feel that and show people what that looks like over and over. And so that's why I want to, I'm pivoting now to focus on working on artists, because a lot of people don't get to see what they look like when they're like in the zone or like in a flow state working on what they love. You know, that's a very like personal experience you don't often share with people. And I want to show people how beautiful it is to like be there and doing your thing. Ah, I just love it. I just love it so much.
I love hearing how passionate you get about it too, because that's how you know it's real. And I think that's massive. That's so like, that's a super exciting moment for a creative. And I think not just in photography, but like in any artistic like career, when you have that revelation of what you really love to do, it's like, it's a very good feeling. And I don't think there's very many feelings like that other than like probably like what your first love and having a baby and getting your first dog. Let's be real.
But those are all milestone moments for you, yeah. Like, in the human experience, you know? Like, that's just another thing. I feel when you find something that just, it's not just a spark, but it's like, it's just an enveloping feeling of like, this is right. This is like true. Oh, it's the best feeling ever.
That's so awesome. And there are
really formative moments for that.
That's so awesome. I'm super happy for you. That's a super, super awesome revelation to have. So like, out of curiosity, from one creative to another, obviously with it being like one of those newer passions that you're kind of like, this is what I want to do, you know, where do you see like a further vision for it? I mean, you must, you know, since you have the passion for it, but like, where do you see it going in the next year, in the next 5 years?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So far, for this year, I'm focusing on hopefully rebranding a little bit my logo and all of that fun stuff, redoing my website to kind of bring more focus into that. But long term, I would love for this to become what I'm known for. If an artist, you know, needs photos for their portfolio or wants to, you know, just have a creative shoot for themselves in their space, I want to be the person that someone feels comfortable inviting in and witnessing them doing what they love. And I would love for it to grow to the point, this is like huge dream, I would love for it to grow to the point where I get to travel to do that. So going to like New York to photograph a painter, or going to, I don't know, LA to photograph whatever, you know.
Are you an Ed Sheeran fan?
I like him. I'm not like obsessed with him, but
I'm obsessed with him, but it's no big deal.
No, I mean, that's
all the power to me, right?
Well, because I mean, I've been to his concert.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And they're the best. But I asked that because like you said, you want to travel. Like, what if you had the opportunity, if say maybe not Ed Sheeran, but like Shawn Mendes, or I don't know who your favorite artist is, but what if they like contact you and they're like, would you be my personal photographer? And like, is that, do you see that like as even like a possible path amongst the many different paths that you could take in like the career that you want to go towards?
Maybe. I do know that I don't want to focus on any one type of artist. Mm-hmm. I know here in the music scene here in Lincoln and Omaha, I know enough like musicians now that it would be really easy for me to like stick in that one niche, but that's not what I want to do. And I only mentioned that because you mentioned like music artists who I love and adore, but I don't want to just be in that niche. But if someone, like if Shawn Mendes or Ed Sheeran or anybody asked me to come like be their photographer, I would be like, yes. I wouldn't go with them on tour. That's not what I want to do.
Yeah.
It's not what I want to do at all. But to come, you know, photograph them while they're doing like recording a session, or, you know, in their home or whatever. I just found out that Seth Rogen does like pottery during this quarantine.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Dream would be to go photograph him throwing some pottery. Like, that'd be amazing.
I can't even imagine Joe Rogan being gentle enough to do pottery. He's such a hardcore
human.
Not
Joe Rogan. Let me make sure I said the right person. Seth.
It's actually Hulk Hogan.
No, Seth Rogen. I was right. Yeah. Look at this.
Oh, Seth Rogen actually does pottery.
Yeah, like he legit does pottery. And then it's beautiful. It's really fun. I know. So that's like getting to photograph someone in their space, doing that, the dream.
That is so cool. That is
I discovered
so...
this like a week ago, so I'm just still very obsessed.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I was like, if Joe Rogan is doing pottery, like, I don't know if that'd be good PR for him or bad PR for him, because he's such a hardcore fighter human that like,
yeah.
He would get, I don't know. I don't think he would get much flack actually. Everybody loves Joe Rogan. So
yeah,
but Seth Rogen,
such a crew. Yeah. It was so random too. And his entire Instagram feed is just like filled with pottery for like the last like several months.
That's so awesome. Speaking of artistic stuff, I've been following your journey too. And I saw that, I mean, obviously this has been out for a while now, but Nude Balm.
Yes.
Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
I would love to. I put it on right before we started.
You don't just do photography.
No, I don't.
Talk us through that a little bit. I want to know more about that.
Yeah. So I make lip balm. Very exciting. I started this last year when another photographer actually here in Lincoln, she lives in Crete now, Elaine Woods. She posted on Facebook. Sorry, I lost my train of thought. She posted on Facebook that she was going to be opening a coffee shop. And in her coffee shop, she also wanted to sell items from local makers in our Nebraska area. And so she posted on Facebook just asking like, hey, do I know anybody who makes things? And I posted on there kind of like half as a joke that I make lip balm because I've been making it since college just for myself. And she like responded. She said, hey, can we meet up? I'd love to try it. And I was like, sure. So I brought her. I was making them in these little black tubes. It wasn't named or labeled or anything. And I took her some samples and she tried it and she loved it. And she said, put a label on this, brand it, and I would love to sell it in my store. And she set me off on this journey of finally naming my product, working with a designer to create labels and a whole brand. And I just launched it in February, selling it in her store. And now I have it in several stores here in Lincoln. I sell it online. And we've got new scents coming out this year. One day we're going to have more than just lip balm, but I love it. It's so fun to do.
That's so, where did that passion come from? How do you even make lip balm? Like, what is it? I don't even understand. Like, how did you even start making it?
Yeah. So I've always liked lip balm and I grew up in Hawaii and then I came here to go to college. So I would go home over the summer and I grew up owning a couple of horses. And there was one day we were at the feed store buying food for our horses and at the register, they had a couple of tubes of lip balm, and it was a type of lip balm I'd never tried before. It was this like really basic white tube with like a slapped on label, and I convinced my mom to buy it. It was, you know, like $3 or whatever. And I tried it, and it was this lavender lip balm that I'd never experienced before. This was like literally 7 years ago. And I just loved it so much. And when I came back to college, I couldn't find it anywhere. Like I couldn't buy more. And so I decided, well, maybe I can try to make it. And I just Googled how to make a lip balm. And I've since kind of perfected my recipe, but it's really easy. You choose beeswax or soy wax if you're going to use that to make it vegan. I do coconut oil, sweet almond oil, and then whatever essential oils I want to scent the lip balm. So I'm really clear about what's in the product because I'm really aware that people have allergies to different things and I'm not trying to like hide something in here that will send someone into like anaphylactic shock. You just melt it all down and you hand pour it in the tube. I hand pour them all. It's a little time consuming, but it's really fun.
That's so cool. So you have a little bit of an entrepreneurial itch is what you're trying to say.
Yes. Yeah.
That is super awesome. That's so cool to see. One thing that we talked about off the podcast was the whole idea of trying everything and like, just keep like, remember, like I said, like keep trying things until you find out what you hate so you can find out what you love. What's your take on that? Like what's your stance on that? What would you say about that?
I think that is completely true. That's definitely something that I wish we heard more of when we were younger. When I was in college, my degree is in like international communication with an emphasis in Spanish. And I love my degree. I'm glad I got it, learned a lot. But I wish that I'd been told to do more internships. I wish I'd been told to shadow more people doing different types of jobs. Those opportunities, though they were there for me, I didn't really realize how important they were to learn what I liked and didn't like. And I didn't start to really experience that until I got into photography and started trying, you know, different types of sessions, like family sessions, sessions with individuals, weddings, landscape photography. Like I started doing photography for the macro, like flowers and like grass and leaves with little dewdrops on them. That's my favorite thing besides people, you know, but I went through this like insane amount of growth and trying different types of photography in this one career over like a very short amount of time. I just tried to like compress it all because I hadn't really had the opportunity to do that more growing up. And I wouldn't even be able to say, oh, I like this or I don't like this if I hadn't done that. So I completely agree with you. I think it's so important. And there's nothing wrong with trying something and not liking it. And I think that that's something that's often lost when people are told, hey, why don't you try this? We have such a fear of failure, but you aren't failing at something if you just don't like it, you know? You're just learning something new about yourself.
Absolutely. I literally just finished this book yesterday, called Failing Forward. And it was all based around the idea of like, you know, you have to get to where you want to be and to be the person that you want to be, you have to constantly be putting yourselves in situations where there is the potential to fail. So regardless of like whatever career field you choose or whatever skill you choose to pursue, whether you're good or bad at it, try it and try to be the best at it. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out, but you find out what you're good at and you find out what you're not good at. And that's huge. And for me personally, like a personal story for me is, you know, growing up, I grew up in an Asian household. So I was always I was always told like what I needed to be. And I know if my dad's listening to this right now, he can agree to that. And he can attest to that is because we've had multiple conversations on this, but when I was growing up, there was really only two career paths that I could choose like in our house. And it was either sports, cause like we were obsessed with sports. I feel like any like young boy or any young girl, like when you're in a sports program of whatever that is, like you want to be a professional at that. So that was option A. Or option B was to either be a lawyer, a doctor, or a business manager, like managerial role, you know. And I was in that mindset for a really long time, and so especially in high school. And when I graduated high school, I knew at my senior year I didn't want to go to college. I knew it because I wasn't ready and I didn't know what I wanted to do. But instead I was in a situation where I was kind of like in a situation where I was forced to do it. So I did it and for the first year and I dropped out. And in that time from when I graduated high school to now, I've done everything from be a waiter to working fast food. I've tried public speaking, which I do love public speaking. Like I love talking about stuff. I've been a magician, like I mentioned earlier in the podcast, which that was a really awesome time for me. And people think it's like kind of goofy, but like you learn a lot when you're trying to entertain a crowd of 40 or 50 people on the corner of a street and they can walk away at any moment. Like there's nothing, I mean, there's probably something more nerve-wracking than that, but like that was a very scary moment for me. And that's what really brought me out of my shell. But I ended up not doing it professionally, but it taught me that I didn't want to do it professionally. And I've also been in everything from the medical field. So I was an EMT and I also was pursuing a paramedicine degree and I actually dropped out of the program. And that's when I found video. And so that's it. It's funny to look back at that journey and realize that I've done so much stuff and all of it has accumulated to what we're doing now. And who knows, this might not even be the final destination, you know, like as humans, we constantly have new revelations and we constantly find new passions. Like where do you think that that's going to go for you? Like obviously in this very moment, like this is your passion and this is what you want. But like there's a possibility that you could be at a farmer's market one day and fall in love with growing watermelons. I don't know.
You're not wrong. I agree with what you're saying before too about how, you know, everything that you've learned and experienced so far has brought you to where you are now. My guiding principle seems like a very strong term, but something I try to think about whenever I'm doing photography or when I'm interacting with anybody really is that we are all a collection of stories. You know, each individual person is a collection of experiences, and I would not be who I am today without my previous experiences. I would be a totally different person. And for that, I'm grateful for the things that I have, you know, tried and not tried, the people I've met, the jobs that I've had, like you said, like I've learned different things about myself and how I work and how to interact with people through these different experiences and different jobs. And so going forward, I agree, like photography is currently, I do it only part-time. And that's also why I'm able to start to focus in on what I love. I've allowed myself the space to figure that out. And I know that's a privilege that I've had as well, because I have another full-time job that's like literally not even related to photography. I'm a project manager at a software development company right now, which has been wonderful during this pandemic. And it's allowed me a lot of space to think and experiment that I have not had in the past, because I've just been focusing on figuring out how to make money and still enjoy life while also paying my bills. So, you know, in the future, yeah, I could totally pivot to something else. I'm really enjoying doing my lip balm right now. Nude Balm is really, really fun for me. And between that and photography, those are both my fun work. But that could change, you know. You're right. I could go to a farmer's market and be like, you know what? I want to start growing lavender fields, and off I go, you know. I think it's important to remember that we don't have to stick to one thing, you know. As we grow and change, our desires and what we like to do can change too, and that's not a bad thing. And I think that our generation gets a lot of flack for that sometimes. But we also have more freedom than ever before to be able to do that as individuals. And I think that's really special. And we should, as we are able, take advantage of that.
Absolutely. I feel like if you guys are listening to that segment right now, take a note and implement that into your life and just keep that in mind. As I literally couldn't say it any better than what you said. And I thought I said it pretty well. So you definitely just mic dropped on me. So, I want to take a step back. So like, obviously the Perfect Day Show, you know, it's primarily wedding based, but it's also creative based. But I want to go back into the wedding industry for people who are creatives, you know, in this industry, is, the whole idea between professionals and amateurs. Now, I don't like, there's no, you know, bad words going like one way or another. I don't know what the right way to say that is, but like, I want to get some insight from somebody who's been in, you know, the industry for a while now, is what do you think really, really makes, and really defines the difference between a professional in the wedding industry and an amateur in the wedding industry? How can wedding couples or, you know, creatives tell the difference?
Loaded question. Well, first of all, the definition for professional is someone who gets paid to do something, right? And yes, I've been doing this for 5 years now. And when I started, I was charging people for senior photos for college. I was charging people like $20 just to convince them that I was worth being paid. Then I upped it to like 50. Then I upped it to like 100. Then I upped it to 150. You know, as my experience grew, my prices could grow as well, because I learned how to pose people. I was learning how to make people feel more comfortable. I was learning how to walk people through the process efficiently and thoughtfully as they were booking whatever session, wedding, you know, insert type of photography here. I was learning how to make people feel more comfortable. I was getting better at using my camera. You know, all of these things that make you really good at what you do as a whole as a photographer, the more that you do them, the more that you're worth being paid. And not like, okay, just to say, our worth is not in what we are paid, but the work that we do, the time that we spend on something, does change how much we can charge for our work. And so I think the difference between the difference between an amateur and a professional is, you know, an amateur is someone who's doing this mostly for fun. They're learning, they're enjoying it. They can totally do it for friends. People can pay them if they want to, but this isn't something they've sat down and decided, I'm going to invest in this. I'm going to invest in myself. I want to do better. And here are the ways I'm going to do better going forward. A professional is someone who has experience, who is charging people, who knows how to charge people for their worth, for the worth of their work, and what they as an individual bring to their service. And who keeps growing and investing in themselves for the sake of not only their customer, their clients, but also themselves and their craft.
I love that.
That's how I define it.
That's awesome. And I love the thing that really resonates with me is the investing in yourself, that aspect of being a professional. That's huge. And I feel like if any career path you choose, it doesn't even have to be in this industry. You could be a software developer. You could be like a public speaker, like whatever it is. But like the idea of investing in yourself, whether that's, you know, well, I want to get some insight from you, but what are some ways that you invest in yourself is probably a better question to ask.
When I first started, I went to some workshops. I've gone to 2 workshops, actually not that many. But I've spent a lot of time, you know, like watching YouTube videos. There's so much free content out there that you can learn from. Practicing, just taking time to practice, you know, practice with my camera, practice with people. Like I would just drag my friends out, even, you know, 3-4 years, even now, like literally right now, like a few weeks ago, I asked one of my friends to model for me so I could practice, you know, a certain type of photography. That you shouldn't ever stop doing that, you know, because that's how you remain curious about what you're doing. And that's how you continue to get better and feel more comfortable and confident in your work so that your clients can feel confident in your work too.
Definitely. There is a lot of free content. Yeah, no, definitely. And like you said, there's a lot of free content out there. You know, YouTube is one. I love YouTube University. That's where I learned almost everything that I know outside of, you know, shadowing other videographers and other filmmakers. But
yes, that's huge.
Yeah. But another aspect of that is I know a lot of people don't like to read because I know reading is a huge time investment for them. And I know that people especially in today's day and age and like coming into these next few years, our attention span is definitely not what it used to be. So yeah. So reading is definitely a tough one, but like, honestly, I think that's also another like learning lesson too, is, you know, being able to sit down with a book and like test your patience and just work on that. And like, cause like, I think that skill alone goes a very, very long way. But like, for instance, give me a second. There's a book that I haven't even tried to read yet. It's called Creative Calling. Have you heard of that?
I haven't, please.
So this is a book that is that was written by a creative. He's a photographer, and from like an entrepreneurial aspect, he talks about like how to stay creative and how to stay inspired in an industry where things are constantly changing. And I think that is massive. I don't know. I've really recently picked up reading. I picked up reading back in August, and I've been like obsessed with it. Like I think from August until December, I bought 14 books. I haven't read them all. Yeah, I haven't read them all. Every single book that's on this shelf right now, I've bought. And I bought within the year, and I've just, like, been obsessed. Yeah.
I support you. That's amazing. Yeah,
it's crazy, though. But, like, when I first started reading, I couldn't focus at all. Like, it was hard for me to sit down.
I think that's a perfect example of how when you want to do something, you spend time in it. You're not perfect at it right away. You're not even great at it right away. You might not even be good at it right away. But the more you do it, the better that you get.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, yeah, reading, podcasting, YouTube, shadowing. I mean, like just doing it in itself, you know, like really pursuing it and sitting down and just doing the work and messing up. Failure is a huge lesson in itself. I think those are all awesome things. I haven't had any, I don't think any massive failures in the wedding industry yet, knock on wood. you know, I know that one day that's going to come and I'm going to probably bite the bullet on it, but I think it'll teach me a long-term lesson in the end. I love where this conversation's been like going. And I think there's a lot of value that people can pull from this, and you've given a lot of insight into this industry, but I want to kind of wrap this conversation up with, you know, some advice that we can give to creatives, just from your own personal experience. What's the number one piece of advice you would give to people who are pursuing any creative field?
Any creative field. I would say to, like we said already, to not be afraid of failing. Failure is literally part of learning. You cannot learn if you don't fail sometimes. So don't be afraid of failing. Don't be afraid of asking for help either. I have spent a lot of time, even as recently as this year, doing mentor sessions with other, you know, photographers or people that I appreciate and value and admire in the industry. So don't be afraid to ask for help, whether it's from friends, from other professionals. That's okay. That's all right. And continue to be curious about your work. Don't don't allow yourself to get so comfortable that you're bored with what you're doing, because then you start to lose the spark that is what brings the energy to the work that you're doing. And it's okay to go through like slumps and changes. That's a normal part of life. But I would say, as much as you can, stay curious and find ways to keep yourself curious about what you're doing, whatever your artistic medium is.
Definitely. You're like the creative Buddha. That's how I would describe you, Elena. That's awesome. Well, I wanted to take some time to say, you know, like, thanks for doing this, and, you know, thanks for being a part of this show. This is something outside of the podcast and outside of everything, like sitting down and talking with, like, it's been over a year since the last time we've worked together, but like, I've always wanted to sit down with you and talk to you about like just this whole industry as like a whole and like how you got started. So I'm happy that I was actually able to, you know, create a long form piece of content of this and have this as something that I can go back on and look at. So that's really awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, I've thoroughly enjoyed this. This is fun.
Good.
You have awesome. So much to offer too. You're a great conversationalist. This has been really, it's been good. I'm going to sit down and think about some of the things we've talked about too after this. So
awesome. I probably will as well while I'm walking my dog or something. I'm sure that I'll have, I always think about these conversations, but I want to take a few minutes for you to just kind of like give, you know, where can people find you? I want you to, you know, where can I send people your way?
Yeah, well, I've got a website, real easy, elenacornwell.com. And then my Instagram is just @elenacornwell with an underscore at the end. You can email me ecornwellphoto@gmail.com. Quick plug for my lip balm, nudebalm.com. And you can find me on Instagram.
That's
for
so nude smooth. Nudebalm.com. Love that. That's clean. That's super cool. I'm going to have to buy some lip balm from you too, because we all know my lips get a little crusty in the wintertime. That's for sure.
I'll pack them up and send them out Monday. You let me know.
That sounds good. Awesome. Cool. Yeah, go check her out. Go give her some support. Shoot her a DM and say that you saw her on the Perfect Day Show, if you did. And if you guys listen to this on Spotify, this is always the part I have trouble with, is like, you know, plugging the show. It's such a struggle. I tell you what, this is not a normal thing for me on a day-to-day basis. But if you guys are listening to this show on Spotify, be sure to give us a follow. And if you're listening to this on iTunes, we would really appreciate a 5-star rating. If you give us anything less, I will find you. And I will. I feel like, is that wrong of me to like try and steal that?
I was going to add to that. He'll find you and give you a hug.
I will find you. Yes. Find you and I'll give you a hug.
Go back and change your rating.
We know that's not true. I'm just kidding. But also go check us out on Instagram and Facebook. You can find my business, Buttoned Up Weddings, at buttonedupweddings.com. Wow, I can't talk today. And check us out at The Perfect Day Show on all platforms. But with that being said, guys, be sure that you take the notes that you've taken today, go implement them, go execute them, and make the perfect day. Deuces.